Hi, and welcome to Jewish Time, a podcast brought to you by the Atlanta Jewish Times, keeping Jewish Atlanta connected, where our mission is to bring you a timely and interesting conversation with people who connect Jewish Atlanta locally, nationally, and around the world.
Welcome to Jewish Time. I'm Jeff Silberblatt, and today's podcast is with a very exciting guest. I'm excited to talk with Mike Levin. He is a legendary business executive, a hotelier, the man who started the Holiday Inn Express chain, and he has lots of Atlanta connections, which is why we're interested in talking with Mike Levin. Hello and welcome to Jewish Time.
Hi, thank you. Nice to be here.
I want to talk about the Jewish Future Pledge, something that you started a couple of years ago. I want to know what it is, I want to know how it works, and I want to know why you felt the need to put your name behind it and to bring it to the public.
Well, I can answer the question very quickly, actually. Basically, a few years ago, I was sitting in a community center in Aspen, Colorado, when a guy named David Horowitz, who was the editor of the Times of Israel, gave a speech. In that speech, he said he was very concerned about the wealth transfer. I had not thought about the wealth transfer, but he said that he was concerned that the next generation of Jewish people in North America in particular, which is 90% of the diaspora, were going to accept on the death of living parents now and today or generationally a significant amount of wealth. That wealth supports about $6 billion of annual expense in the Jewish world in North America and to Israel. And he was worried what was going to be left and what was going to go on in the future with that generation. I never did anything for a couple of years. I watched Buffett do a pledge of billionaires to give away their wealth at the end. And I thought about it. Didn't do anything until a couple of years ago. And then I said, you know, I got to do something. Let's come up with an idea. I came up with the idea of a Jewish Future Pledge, which was designed around the concept of having people who were leaving charitable dollars on their passing, that at least 50% or more of those dollars would go Jewishly, either here or in Israel. And I tested it with a great philanthropist that I had worked with for many years, Bernie Marcus. He said, does this idea have any legs? He said it thought it did. And then I put a group of people together. We got our logos. We built our marketing effort. And we started the Jewish Future Pledge. We have close to 21,000 signatures now. We're moving at the rate of about 1,500 signatures a month at this point. And coincidental to that, about a year later, we started the Jewish Youth Pledge, which has no financial commitment. It had just a commitment to the Jewish people for kids 13 to 24. Basically, the Future Pledge is not a legal document. It's a moral obligation. And we're moving ahead with a forecast of 50,000 by the end of 24. And I hope it's going to continue from there.
Give us an insight, if you will, on the Jewish Future Pledge. When somebody passes and they've made that pledge, where does the money go and how is that money distributed?
Well, here's the situation. The first and foremost thing by signing the pledge is you've made the moral commitment. The request from you for doing that is that you write a short notice to why. We capture that, and then we ask people to talk to their children, to talk to the people that are coming after us, to tell them what you want to do and explain it. There are a variety of situations available to you through your wealth manager, to yourself and whatever, whether it's an estate, a will, a donor advised fund, or any opportunity to describe the fact that 50% or more of that money should go Jewishly. We leave it up to those people and their children to make the decisions where in Judaism they go. And we leave enough for those individuals, particularly the next generation, who want to save whales and do those kinds of things with charitable dollars to still be able to do it. But we do hope they find Jewish whales.
Can you tell us a specific example or examples of recent Jewish pledges and what they have, you know, where they have gone in the community?
Yeah, we don't track that. We don't track where they go because we didn't think it was our responsibility. We do get an estimate. We do have an estimate based upon research that the average afterlife Jewish gift should be around $50,000. And basically, if you track that towards 21,000 people that have signed, it's over $1 billion. All we're looking for is to make sure that we protect that $6 billion number now over a period of years with these pledges. But we do not track where the money goes.
You had mentioned a name that we all know that you had reached out to, and that's Bernie Marcus. Bernie is an incredible Atlantan. His legacy is that he has used his know-how, his money to make life better for so many people in the Atlanta metro. So when you have reached out to him, give us an insight. Let us be the fly on the wall of those conversations when you first pitched the Jewish Future Pledge to Bernie.
Well, I'm a trustee of his foundation, and I've been a trustee for 20 years, so I know where his money goes. For example, Bernie might give $75 million to Piedmont Hospital, but he also gave $35 million to Hillel, $35 million to Route 1 for moving kids, also a multi-million dollar commitment to Birthright Israel. There's a numerous amount of charities. Bernie just gave $10 million to the Weber School here in Atlanta. But his bylaw in his foundation is that 40% of the giving has to be Jewish. Okay. Now, so for example, sometimes he'll give 50%, depends on what year it is, but it's by legal documentation that the trustees have to spend 40% of the corpus of the foundation Jewishly. And we ask those type of people to make sure, the ones who have foundations, that it is codified in their rules that 50% or more be spent Jewishly. Now, some to be candid have done less than 50%, but when you're talking multiple billions of dollars, I'm happy to have a few dollars less, if that's what they want. But one major billionaire that I dealt with said put in $100 million or more has to be spent Jewishly in his foundation. So there are some varieties that take place, but for the most part, we also have people that don't have very much money. And young people, we have a woman, 44 or 42, who I know who signed, and I asked her why. And she said, because I want to tell my children, I want to train my children what I want to do later. So it varies a great deal, which is why the average gift is far lower than what you get from something like the Marcus Foundation or some of the other foundations that have signed.
Mike, do you believe that our current generation, which will be handing things down to, I guess, the generation that we call millennials and Generation Z. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that the current generation has the same Jewishness, for lack of a better word? And is that Jewishness being passed to younger generation, millennials and Generation Z?
Oh, I do believe that. Most people are pessimistic about that. I am not as pessimistic, which is one of the reasons why we did the pledge at the 50% level. We do think that by generations after myself and my own children who are very committed and their children who went to day schools, Jewish day schools, etc., that things change over time. And that's why we don't want to be asking people Jewishly to forget everybody else too. The Jews by nature a community people when allowed to be community people. We've always done that in our history. And today we support, I myself support a number of charities that are not Jewish. So I think we believe in civil rights, we believe in all of the kinds of things that are and justice for all people. And so consequently, I don't want to limit it. And I don't think millennials or Generation X, you can make the judgment that just because they're using Instagram and TikTok and all these other things, that they're going to forget their grandparents, their parents, and others who have been committed to the Jewish people in the state of Israel.
So I'd like to move on to the Jewish Youth Pledge, which kind of spurred off of the Jewish Future Pledge.
Yeah, we decided after a year that we were forgetting a population of 13 to 24. This happened when I happened to be a donor to BBYO, and I had a long conversation with Matt Grossman, who's the executive director of all of the BBYO organizations. And I said, look, I'd like to get a pledge that says that young Jewish people should commit to Judaism, whatever their Judaism is, and to the state of Israel. And so we came up with a pledge. And then he said, well, I said, could you implement this in your organization? He said, well, I got a problem because I don't know if they'll remember they signed it. So we came up with a fascinating idea that when a young person signs this pledge, and we have 40 organizations we're working with already, when they sign that pledge, they write a letter on their technology to their future self, explaining what the pledge meant and what their organization meant to them while they're experiencing it. So, for example, at the day school, the Davis School, 55 graduates have signed a letter to their future self, and the pledge goes into a time capsule. The time capsule kicks out after 2 years, a reminder about the letter, and 5 years after, and 5 years after, and 5 years after, because the telephone numbers, even if the email changes, don't change. We don't own the time capsule. The names are owned by the organization, which allows the organization to stay in touch with these people for many years afterwards. So it's a really good situation, and we have API, we have summer camps, we have day schools, we have all this. It's a really interesting idea that came up because Matt Grossman asked the question, how are they going to remember? So we have technologically guaranteed the remembrance of their trip, if they're on a trip, like Birthright or Yehudi or all these kind of things. So that is done from a sales standpoint. That is not marketed. It is not marketed to mass market. It's only going through Jewish organizations.
And your programs are all U.S.-based, correct?
They are, except that we get signatures for the Future Pledge and for the Youth Pledge from other places, because using the internet, for example, the BBYO will have a chapter in Europe. And so we'll get leaders from the European chapter to sign the pledge there. In terms of the Future Pledge, we have Future Pledges coming in from some of the strangest places you've ever heard of, because it's on the internet, on the websites. There's a website for the Youth Pledge and a website for the Future Pledge, but we don't do a lot of signatures for the Youth Pledge over the regular net, but we got significant amount of signatures over the net on the Jewish Future Pledge, which also includes a monthly newsletter that goes to all the people who have signed. So we stay in touch with them every month, certain information, recommend to your friends, things like that that go on.
I kind of see this Jewish Future Pledge as kind of a center point for ensuring the longevity of our belief system. And the more that I read about this, the more intrigued I was. Do you feel that overall there is a lessening in Jewish priority, Jewish living, Jewish ideas in not just our country, but around the world?
I mean, let me tell you this. If you know anything about Jewish history, the basic reality of Jewish history is every time we're allowed to do what we can do in any country we've ever lived in, we've achieved. Once we achieve a lot, the anti-Semitism bug seems to come back. The weeds can kind of grow. And I can tell you that as tough as the anti-Semitism situation is today, my own belief is that it will, in a sense, guarantee our future. Because we will not forget who we are, because you're not allowed to forget who we are. And consequently, I'm optimistic about the future of the Jewish people. It would be silly of me after 3,000 years or so to be able to think that it can be eradicated. But on the other hand, it takes resources, it takes money, it takes people, We have many rabbis that have signed the Future Pledge. We have the confirmation class at the temple here in Atlanta that have signed the Youth Pledge. I mean, we have all kinds of things. I don't want to rest on the laurels of what we've gotten. I want to make sure to do my part so that what you're just saying about our history will continue. We have to be here, not only for the betterment of the Jewish people, but for the betterment of all the others we have helped as a small minority in the world.
I want to take a moment and mention your book, which was published in 2020, called Can't Do It Yourself, How Commitment from Others Leads to Personal Prosperity. Tell me a little bit about the book, and if I haven't read the book yet, what would I find in it?
Well, I think the title indicates that what you'd find in it is a methodology in leading. At the end of each chapter, there are lessons learned, which indicates to anybody who's reading it that you learn every time you do something. You learn, it's a continuous learning in life. And basically, when you make mistakes, you learn. When you have successes, you learn. And so at the end of each chapter, if you don't read the book and you don't want to learn about what happened to me over the course of my work career, just read the end of each chapter, and those are lessons that you can help you in the managing of your life and your relationships and your successes or your failures. I just like to add one thing on that book, that what I find when you lead is you're incredibly dependent on the people around you. You try to have the right ones, of course, but you're dependent. They help you to be successful. So that's what the title is about. You're understanding that when you're in a position of responsibility, and it can be in business, it can be in nonprofit, it can be in your life itself with your own family and your children, and what you have to do to help them, they help you succeed as you help them succeed.
Mike, I want to thank you. His name is Mike Levin. He's a business executive, but more importantly, he's a philanthropist and the author who co-founded the Jewish Future Pledge and the Jewish Youth Pledge. Mike, I want to thank you for your time, and I want to thank our listeners for their time in listening to Jewish Time. My name is Jeff Silberblatt. We'll speak again soon.
Thank you for listening to Jewish Time, brought to you by the Atlanta Jewish Times, keeping Jewish Atlanta connected. Go to atlantajewishtimes.com to find insightful articles and subscription information. Send in that question you've always wanted answered to our editor and managing publisher, Kayleen Ladinsky, and she'll answer it on an upcoming episode of Ask Kayleen.